Good morning, good afternoon, or good night. I'm your host, Adrian Conway. Welcome to another episode of the Daily Rise. Look, today, actually, you know, we're not in the Daily Rise format. So I messed that up with a snafu there, folks. Listen, we are starting our 2023 CrossFit season. It started last week where we watched 23.1 be announced by the community. It was a chipper that we started with, and these are going to be episodes that I will release on a weekly basis that take us through the season of 2023. We're going to talk about programming of the events that are taking place. We're going to talk about the athletes that are, you know, hovering at the top of the leaderboard, what these particular tests are testing, and how valuable and how valid are they? Where is their place throughout the course of the season? And of course, we're going to have more answers as the season continues to unfold, because the test will be more thorough. So each and every week throughout the open, then throughout the 5 to 6 workouts that get released in the quarterfinals, then throughout the semifinals, and even into the CrossFit games, these will all be essential parts of the puzzle when it comes to us actually navigating the true test of fitness that is taking place. With that being said, we're 1 week into the open, folks, and a lot of things has gone down already. We've had several athletes, of course, bow out of competition due to injury, due to them feeling burnt out or just needing a break, and actually due to retirement, as we've seen Christy Ermo just literally make her announcement just the other day. But we've got some notables, Haley Adams, Travis Mayer. There are several athletes that are at the top of their sport and the top of their particular game that are going to be absent this year on the leaderboard. How that will affect things to come, we will see. And of course, we'll discover that as we go. But this episode is going to be specifically surrounding 23.1 and the announcement that took place last week, where, in case you didn't know, there was already some drama, already some issues. And I know that many of you are already following along, others on social media, other people releasing content surrounding the CrossFit season. I hope that I can be a voice that represents both sides of the community here, right? Being someone that gets to carry the responsibility of wearing a red shirt and representing CrossFit HQ at what I would consider a very highly touted level, because we are the ones that get an opportunity to spread the seeds of what CrossFit really is and empower those that wish to impact the lives of thousands of other athletes. And I hope that I can share that perspective, but I also hope that I can be a very honest voice for the community where, and also as an athlete myself, just coming off of my last competitive season is 2021 in the 35 to 39 division. So with that being said, I hope that you find my points of view skewed neither way, but honest from the seat and the perspectives that I get to share. The bottom line is this. 23.1 was one of the most fun ways that I believe we have ever started the CrossFit Open. When I thought about Adrian Bosman and the things that he would attack us with, if you will, a fun chipper was not the way that I thought it would go down. Folks, I was expecting some kind of couplet that involved running, maybe single modality running test, like something that was going to just give us way less of what we want and way more of what we need. Now, you can argue me on if we need workouts like that, if we need to be put in our place with how we program and how we perceive intended stimulus and intensity and where our training is and where our focuses are. But look, we have never had running in the open, yet we've seen it in the quarterfinals. We've seen it in semifinals. Of course, we see it at the games at a very high level. Are we setting the precedent that we don't need to run as everyday athletes in order to be competitive in our sport, that doesn't need to be a barrier to entry into the top 10 percentile to compete at quarterfinals? Is that what we're saying? If there's no running this year, I think we are saying that, and I think it would be a great mistake. So my point is, I think it's coming. I thought it was coming in week one, but it wasn't. 23.1 was 60 calorie row, 50 toes to bar, 40 wall ball shots, 30 power cleans, 20, what was our 20? Ring muscle ups, duh. And it was all for time in the way that it was a 14-minute cap for a lot of people, right? 14-minute AMRAP is the specific designation, which means as many rounds and reps as possible. So 60, 50, 40, 30, 20 14-minute AMRAP. The top athletes in the world not only finished the 20-ring muscle-ups, but they also got back to the toes-to-bar. Like, they were a significant amount into the toes-to-bar. We're going to talk about the leaderboard in just a second, but I want to share that in 2014, I finished the ring muscle-ups and then rode like 25 calories. This year, I rode 26. And it was crazy because my training is nothing like it was in 2014. My training time in the gym, my volume. If you can't tell, I'm battling a little bit of a sickness that was already starting to fester last week. There's a lot of things that were against me besting my 2014 time and score. Also, I want to add that in 2014, I finished 38th in the world in the 5 weeks of the Open. Now, that wasn't in the one test. That one test was probably my worst finish of the Open. But I was in dang good shape is what I'm saying. My physical conditioning was pretty elite back then. Right now, not so much. And specifically with ring muscle-ups, I just don't train them, right? I don't train them consistently because competing wasn't in my forethought for this year. Like, hey, this is what I'm getting ready for. I'm preparing my body. I'm preparing for a stimulus. I'm doing X, Y, and Z. That wasn't my intention. I've been training. I've been doing some strength training. You guys follow me along on social media. You may know that I've had to work around a hip and back injury for the last year. And I'm feeling much better. I feel like my old self again. So from a capacity standpoint, I can start working and building towards that, right? Increasing my power, my strength stamina, my strength endurance, all the good stuff, the fun stuff that I love. But it's been absent of high skill movements. With that being said, when I got to those ring muscle-ups, I took a long time to get 20. Much longer than I think I should have or could have had I been training them more consistently. And I'm not saying that's neither here nor there because I ultimately with one rep better score than previously. But folks, I had under a minute on that rower. It was 55 seconds of me just smashing my face into the wall to make sure I got that 26 calorie and it ticked over. I couldn't be more excited and happy. I hope that a lot of you guys are celebrating your, you know, PRs, if you've been around since 2014 as well. And I saw a lot of top level big dogs better their scores. And it's crazy. I think we got Rich Froning. We've got Sam Briggs. There are so many people that were competing at a very high level then, some of the fittest in the world, if not the fittest in the world, and yet had the capacity to still do it now, training way less, training way different. I think it's so amazing. And it also shows the power of CrossFit in general with consistency. It also lends itself to a very valuable lesson on capacity that you've built. Here's the lesson that I want to run on a tangent for a second about. When you do have the ability to train intensity and volume in a way that purely challenges your capacity. Now, when I say this, what I mean is that as an athlete, you have a coach or you yourself are guiding your progress in an intelligent way with feedback and hopefully advice from others, where each day you're maximizing what you can do based on the ability to come back tomorrow and do some more. When you do this for 2 to 3 days in a row with a day of rest in between for a very long time. And usually I'm meeting multiple sessions or at the very least 90 minutes of training to 2 hours of training a day. When you can do this, you have the unique ability to be hit with an injury, the unique ability to be at a transition point in your life, to become a mother, to become a father, to take weeks away, to take months away from training. And to come back, patiently rebuild, train with less volume, still meet yourself where you're at with intensity. Familiarize yourself with urgency in the form of a test. So, you know, speed training, if you will. You can surprise yourself because of the years and the reps and the volume that you've put in and better or best or even match previous lifetime PRs for several years to come. And I really believe this. Depending on where athletes are in their journey and where their body health is, they have the unique ability because of the time that they've put in, the suffering, the time, the compromises, all those things that they put to the side to put their fitness up here. Now they really see the fruits. They do way less. They spend way more time with their family. And then all of a sudden, yo, I'm still hitting PRs in the CrossFit Open. It's a beautiful thing. Now, I'm not saying I can make it back to the CrossFit Games doing that. Probably not true. Not with where our sport is evolving to. But to better myself for one workout a week, it can still happen. And that, my my point to that is the value to the everyday gym member, the everyday affiliate member that be listening to this. Coach, I can't train for 90 minutes. I can't train for 2 hours. Hold tight and understand that your consistency over time, chasing intensity, balancing it with well-rounded recovery, good nutrition, good sleep practices for a long time, it pays off down the road. Folks, you're not going to walk into a CrossFit gym and in 3 months be in the best shape of your life necessarily. Trust me, I've seen it. I still see it on a regular basis. But if you stay with it, and if your gym is following a good program, if it's well-rounded, you're going to get stronger, you're going to get fitter, you're going to create more endurance, you're going to create more self-awareness, you're going to be a better human, and you're going to be fitter, unquestionable. You got to stay with it. Consistency over everything. That's your goal. Consistency over everything. That's your goal. Just show up. Sorry about the tangent, but you guys know I'm passionate about training. I'm passionate about coaching. It is I do what I do. It is why I'm sitting behind the microphone and why I get to be in front of this camera for you. So the chipper, I loved it. I love that we started the workout with it. I believe that it's actually a really clear and good depiction of overall fitness. I think there's going to be some athletes at the top level that of course do this throughout the rest of the 2 weeks of the open, because there were some things that clearly weren't tested there, from a loading perspective. The extra load there was absent and non-existent. Some of you are saying, well, coach, we did 30 power cleans. We did 40 wall balls at the top level. It was non-existent. It was not one thing about that was going to create a separation. In fact, all athletes continued to do singles on the power cleans, and they maybe broke the wall ball once. Most of them with top times just didn't break it at all. But was it a make or break? Any of those choices? It wasn't. The time that was maximized in this workout was the time that you could spend on the second row and the time that you spent on the ring muscle ups. Right. So what we're going to do now is get into the leaderboard a little bit, and we'll kind of talk about the way this probably played out for most of them, because your boy ain't about to go watch all their film. Although I'd love to. And if I got paid just to broadcast and be an analyst for somebody, I'd be willing to do that. Right now, that's not the way this shakes out for me. But here's the deal. On the women's side, number one in the entire world is Emma Carey. Now, I got to be honest with you guys. I sat down with Emma just about a week and a half ago on an episode of More Than Fitness. Now, More Than Fitness is a podcast that I started in adjacency with CrossFit HQ to explore faces, to explore the people in and beside and behind our sport of the CrossFit Games, and put personalities and human traits behind these names and this star-studded lineup that we're going to see throughout the season. And some people behind the scenes that you don't know exist that play an integral role in not just the sport, but also the methodology. Neither here nor there, I hope this Emma Carey episode gets released very quickly, as it's poignant as now the season is underway. She's number one in the world. This girl is so focused, it's ridiculous. And I say that not in a negative way at all. I believe it's a very healthy balance. It seems as though her calm demeanor and her very mature attitude and her injury that forced her to sit out last year has created a gratitude for the grind. Not that she didn't have it before, but just like anyone, when you're forced to step away from competition and you don't want to, the emotions, the disappointment, the worry that it can create, the urgency that it can create, could either go a good direction or a bad direction. Now, I want to speak to her family, the people who influence her, her faith, and her coaches, and applaud them and how they've been able to influence her, to lift her up, as well as her peers, the people that surround her. She's given a lot of them love as well in her journey. But to see the way she balled out in this workout here, crazy. Killed it. 269 points. On the ladies' side, it came down to reps by reps. Like, it was a very close race for a lot of the top women at the top. But we've got Emma Carey at 269, Mal O'Brien at 267, Laura Horvath at 261, Jacqueline Dahlstrom at 261, and then, of course, Jamie Simmons to round out the top five. But then guess who's lurking at number six? My girl, Sam Briggs. You can teach an old dog new tricks. Now, she's going to say she's not as fit as she once was. She's 41 years old, folks. Sixth in the world in the first open workout. What are you doing, Sam? And can you spread this elixir that you must drink every day of magic potion to the rest of the world? You can scale it. We'll buy it from you. It's okay. But could you spread the wealth a little, my lady? Now, she's killing it. We know that her engine is always and has always been all the way up here. We know that pound for pound, her gymnastics up here, very upper body driven and great hanger and puller. So this workout was like, yo, here you go, Sam. Here's a bone. Eat it. So she did. But at this top level, particularly the top three, and not to send Jacqueline Dahlstrom anywhere, but at the top and discussion for top performances this year, 2023, Emma Carey, Mal O'Brien, Laura Horvath, are all names that we're going to be talking about in high volume the rest of the season. Again, I think this really shows a great, well-balanced test to start the open with. Sometimes in the past, we've seen an open workout that seems to be biased to one style of movement, or maybe movement redundancy, or something like that, where then throughout the rest of the weeks, the leaderboard shuffles a tremendous amount. Not that it won't shuffle, folks, but again, I like the fact that this is such a well-rounded workout, well-rounded test slash event that it really creates a very clear picture for us right out the gate. Now, some mentionables here. Emma Lawson was sitting in seventh. We know that her and Mal O'Brien and Emma Carey, as some of the youngest athletes in our sport, are going to be going blow to blow for very many years. At least that is what I hope. Ariel Lowen, number 9. Gabby Magala, number 10. Just to round out the top 10 there. Now, again, great performances. Nothing that we didn't expect. But let's take a look at the men's side. This is one that I can't say that I would have necessarily predicted. Number one in the world on the men's side with 306 is Roman Kronikoff. Now, I want to share some stuff about Roman. I've known Roman since about 2014. No, it wasn't 2014. I'm sorry. It's 2017. 2017, I had a conversation with Chris Henshaw about a guy that was following his program who had an engine that was ridiculous. He might need some skills and drills help. So at the time, I was with Brute Strength, and he became a member of our community. I coached him for a while before he became a one-to-one client of Nick Fowler's. Now, I want to be clear about Roman Kronikoff's fitness and his capacity. He's one of the hardest and most focused workers that I've ever coached in my life. Now, our communication was limited through those early years. Google Translate, shout out to you guys because we wouldn't have been able to communicate any other way. And he and I's interactions were only through emails and programming. When I saw the numbers that he was putting up and the things that he was doing before we started to help him refine his gymnastics and really push up his strength numbers, which Nick Fowler was specifically able to help him with, it was like, this dude is a cyborg. Like, that was what I called him. What we see now, and listen, now he's a mayhem athlete. It's great. He's going to be in a place where I think he gets to be surrounded by more active and living bodies. He's going to learn how to compete better by being in that situation, in my opinion. From a programming perspective, I don't even think these guys actually know what he can do yet. And I say that because they are going to help him game plan things the way they would. Roman is nothing like any of those other athletes in that camp. Roman is an absolute powerhouse. And when I say that, he can be more reckless than anyone that they've ever coached and worked with, anyone that's ever come up through that camp. A lot of the folks that have come up through that camp train and move like Rich. Roman and Haley actually have this similarity when it comes to their engine. The aerobic capacity is very broad, but also their unique ability to create high levels of power is very high. They can start workouts at a higher risk tolerance and make other people melt and burn down, and they will smile as they lap them in the next round, right? Because if you try to stay with athletes like this, if you try to keep up early, it's gonna be bad for you. I say all of this because you could go back, you could watch a YouTube video, Rich trying to help Roman game plan, and even as he's talking, I was like, nah. Roman ain't going to do that. Roman is too high energy, too much. He doesn't want to pace and get to a place where it's uncomfortable and then ride it out. Roman wants to start the workout fast, get uncomfortable, and then watch everybody else die. That is my history and experience with this. Again, what's unique about him is that he has that capacity. When things are right and he knows how to pace it, and it's a series of movements that work in his favor, he can hold the most disgusting and uncomfortable heart rate that I've ever been able to see. Now, couple that with the strength he's been able to build throughout the years with Nick Fowler, put him in this environment now with Mayhem Athlete, and he gets an opportunity to see other athletes, look at them in the face, because you guys got to understand his history and where he's been in his life. He has trained by himself. He has been grinding in a place where he hasn't been able to compete in person much of the time, specifically against other top-level athletes. He's very much still learning this. It will be a skill that gets sharpened over the next year and a half or so. But here's my point about this particular test. Toe to bar, ring muscle ups are going to be where we spend a lot of our time. But then there's that row. And in Roman's case, he got the row 60 calories twice. 120 calories when you have all the things that I just described about him. I should have known, Roman. That's my bad, dog. I should have had you up at the top. I should have had you with the ability to do that, but I didn't know where your ring muscle ups are. Bro, I know that you're every bit of 220, so I also didn't know how you'd respond to the toes to bar into the ring muscle-ups. But guess what? Roman said, so what? I like to compete, and I like to win, and Roman likes to win. Roman's about that reward. Roman is not here for fun. Roman is here to represent, to get an opportunity that he was denied for several years, to put food on the table for his family. He means business. And I like it. So he won week one with a 306. Now there's some conspiracy about, the coach is missing my head right now, and I apologize, but you know, they tapped his monitor, and I because Adrian Bosman tapped the monitors of the athletes in person when 23.1 went down. I feel like it's irrelevant, but also you got someone like Pat Vellner who got 304, only 2 calories less than Roman, who publicly said in his video before he even probably saw Roman's score, yo, my monitor didn't turn on right away. It affected me. It cost me a few seconds. It could have cost me a couple reps. Maybe Pat finishes with a 307 if someone's there to turn on his monitor, but he didn't do that because in the rules it says, no one can touch your stuff. It said that athletes could not get assistance with any of their equipment unless further, described. So that means like in weeks to come, if it says, hey, someone can change the weights on your bar, or hey, someone can adjust your clips, or hey, someone can scoot your bar so that it stays in the frame. But none of those things were said, and it said no assistance. I'm very interested to see how CrossFit handles this. I don't know. I don't know actually even what's right in this instance. You know, do you award Cole Greshaber, who got second, do you award him first place and let Roman keep his reps? Is there a slight penalty? I don't know. So we'll see what happens. But right now it's Roman. Then we got Cole Greshaber. And Cole, I really apologize if I'm messing up your name, but Cole Greshaber is 23 years old. I believe that he is someone who is associated with Proven Programming. Cole is a beast. He's every bit of 210 to 215, I believe, in that window. So he's not small and he's not weak. And again, high motor, high capacity for gymnastics, and he absolutely killed this with a 304 score. Now, his tie break was 715, and that's the difference between him and Pat Vellner, whose tie break score was 720, right? So he got to the rings 5 seconds faster than Pat, and that is why he had the advantage there with the tie of the score. But we got Pat Vellner in third, and he looked good doing it. I would encourage you guys to go watch his YouTube content as he describes his video. Let's see who else we got. Guillaume Briant from France. He's 29. He came in one less rep shy of Pat at 303. Georges Kravas. He's 28. He came in with 300 reps. And of course, he's from Europe. He's from Greece. We got Jeff Adler from the North. He's in the Northeast. And he's at 298. Ricky Garrard at 7. Royce Dunn at 8. Let's see. We've got Jelle Host. I'm assuming that's how you pronounce his name. I've got to learn these guys at age 28. And then we've got Victor Hoffer from France that's also age only 20. And he finished with 296. Number 11 right there, just sitting on the outside of the top 10, looking at his Jonikoski, who we know is going to be a consistent face toward the top of these rankings as we watch the scores continue to unfold. So that's where we're at with the Indies. Again, a great test. I love the way that we started this. Tip of the cap to Adrian Bosman. Tip of the cap to the team that actually, you know, made the final decision on making this the first announcement. I thought it was really cool. I'm excited for what we see next week in 23.2. But ultimately, I'm excited for the season to come because of the way that we started. A good mix, fun workouts to do. I don't know if you guys follow along the Dave Castro, but you should if you don't. My man is back in his bag with hints. And here's what's ironic about this. Dave is not the game's master anymore, right? He's not the head programmer. It's Adrian Bosman. Now, they're close, and they've always been tight, and they share, I'm sure, a lot of information. I don't even know how much Dave knows about the openers involved with the programming, yet he's over there dropping these hints that I'm excited to see every single week. Now, he's already dropped his one for the 23.2 announcement, and it's a ball, of course, like dropping sequentially down through the spiral. It's leading me to consider that we might have something back and forth in the form of a couplet, and it's going to be a descending ladder. A lot of people were like, hey, it's going to be shuttle runs for sure because of the back and forth action. But to me, it looks like it's a descending ladder, a couplet. And because we hung last week from toes to bar, right? We did 50 toes bar. We did the 20 ring muscle ups. I think that it will be a pressing emphasis this week. So I'm not saying we won't squat or hinge because I think we could do either of those. We did wall balls and we did power cleans last week. But I believe that we will likely squat, so below parallel, like a lunge, a squat, a thruster, or an overhead squat with another pressing action. Could be handstand pushups, could be wall balls, could be handstand walks, could be wall walks, could be shouldered overhead. But that's what I'm expecting. And hey, maybe it is a run. Maybe it is some back and forth in the form of a shuttle. I don't know. But what a great week one. I think we have an exciting setup to the 2023 season just because of what we can expect. I love the programming. I think it's important to note that if you guys are listening to this or if you're watching this and you feel like you didn't perform very well in the CrossFit Open, I do have programming that I oversee and design with a team of coaches, and it's called True, Train to Rise Up, TTRU. You can find us at truefitness.com, TTRUfitness.com. And we've got a wider range of products, programs that we offer, from 60-minute training, 30-minute training, gymnastics, bodyweight only, dumbbell only, competitor-based programming that's for the high, high-level competitor. Hey, I want to go to semifinals. I want to go from quarters to semis. I want to go from the open to quarters. But we also have it for budgeted time athletes. So we've got a program called True Competitor, but we've also got Competitor Pro. Competitor Pro is where we take the training that a competitor would normally do and we dilute it to something more based around the basics of what you need to perform at a high level, but in a 60 to 80 minute training window. So that's going to be the program that's for the vast majority of people out there that are looking to compete. But we've also got some really great add-on programs like True Gymnastics, True Strength, and True Endurance. These programs could actually be coupled with many other programs out there. So if you've got a workout that you're doing at your affiliate, do the workout with the class, but then throw in True Gymnastics on top of that. If you felt like toes to bar was the limiter for you in week one, if you felt like ring muscle-ups held you back, if you needed one more rep just to break through and go thousands more spots, this program is probably for you. And of course, I know there's a lot of people out there that pursue the one-to-one route. Well, I'm not taking on any clients currently, but at the conclusion of the open, I will be limiting my availability to a few more open spots for one-to-one programming. And this means your training is what you need. We go through a testing protocol. I give athletes the opportunity to see how balanced they are, how they perform versus my judgment of where their goals are and where they need to go and how we can start to get there. I'll design a program specifically like that based around your lifestyle, when you need to rest, when you want to rest, what your family life is like, what kind of gym you train in, all the good stuff, all the things that one-to-one programming should entail. So if you guys have questions about that, feel free to reach out. You could hit us with a comment below the video, or you can reach out to me directly at @AdrianConway_ and shoot me a DM on Instagram. But crew, it's been great to catch up. It's been great to get back behind the mic. You can be on the lookout for some Daily Rise episodes sprinkled in throughout the 2023 season. And of course, I couldn't be more excited to hear what the open workout is going to be and watch it go down this week, because we got none other than Roman Kronikoff and Pat Vellner going head-to-head in just a couple days. But best of luck to you guys. We're going to be continually exploring the leaderboard, bringing up different topics. I might even pull some folks on here as guests to have some really great discussions. But our goal is to inspire you. Our goal is to be a voice of reason, to, of course, you know, just have some really good conversation. Because whether no one watches this video or no one listens to the podcast, your boy, Coach Conway here, enjoys it thoroughly. And my sole goal is to the few listeners and the viewers that we do get, if you're out there, I just want to inspire you to keep rising. So do just that. Rest and recover. Top off your training. But let's get ready to hit 23.2.